Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gubertzi.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gubertzi, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I am very excited about this show. We are going to talk about getting our brands out of any wild storm with our guest, Jonathan David Lewis. Jonathan is an engaging and authoritative speaker who shares how to survive and thrive in today's uncertain world. He is the author of several books, including Brand vs. Wild, which will be the focus of this episode. In addition to writing books, Jonathan has also written several articles on places like Forbes, Digiday, and Advertising Age, where he explores the factors that lead to stalled growth and the principles proven to help companies navigate the ambiguities and dangers of the brand wilderness. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Jonathan to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Jonathan, thank you for taking the time to talk about your book with us today. And I know we're going to go really deep into that, but before I do, I'd like to start with what I call the why question. So for you, why did you write Brand vs. Wild?
You know, I sort of had this crisis, professional crisis, a couple of years ago. I was in Boston, and I was at one of the premier award shows for advertising. And we had just won the second of two awards, and I was on stage accepting the award and, you know, the applause and all that stuff. And it was really cool because it basically put us in about the top five small agencies in America. And I thought that, you know, that's a big moment for us as a company. We worked very hard for it. But while I'm on stage, I have this sort of existential moment where I am very, very proud of what we've done, and I know we're really, really good. But at the same time, I'm thinking, man, I hope nobody asks me, you know, what's really going on in the world today with business and technology and everything else, because I don't really know. I mean, it's just insane, the pace of change. And so as I walked away from that and really reflected on it, I decided it was really time to ensure that if I'm going to be advising clients and advising businesses, I need to make sure I have my arms around this thing. And we had conducted two national studies at that time to really look at the factors that affect growth in business. And we are all about turning around stalled, stuck, and stale businesses and brands. So we have a real very good understanding of the internal dynamics that companies deal with as they're facing some sort of challenge. And after this existential crisis, and I went back to the research and started to look at what's going on in the world around us, and I discovered that there are some really fascinating correlations between our research and survival psychology. And it really turned into this apt metaphor for the world we find ourselves in, where things are changing so fast, who knows when the next disruption is going to hit or what kind of challenge we're going to deal with as business people. And the latest in survival psychology, which really forms the basis for how to deal with uncertain environments. So all of that sort of kind of journey between winning these awards and feeling insecure and going back to the research led to all the work that went to this book, which just came out about 2 months ago.
That is quite the interesting timing to have your big moment. I mean, it's just funny when I read it in the book, I'm like, wow, that's quite the timing. So one thing you mentioned is that it's hard to, like, disruption is constantly happening. And part of business success is being able to, in a sense, anticipate disruption and, like, try to plan and adjust to it. So how do we anticipate disruption and then adjust to it?
You know, this is a tough one because, I mean, how do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? It's one of those, you know, how do you predict the future? And I spend a lot of time on that, trying to predict the future. We all do. And there's this really good book sort of on this topic called The Black Swan that I highly recommend for anybody sort of just trying to learn how to navigate this life. But essentially, Black Swan is a completely unexpected event that is fundamentally changing whatever world you're living in. So a great example of a Black Swan would be, you know, our current president winning the presidential election, which every statistical model, every, you know, political talking head, every expert said it was impossible. And then here we are on election night, and President Donald Trump is walking on stage. And that is a great example of how could you anticipate that? 9/11 is another great black swan. So I don't think it's as much about anticipating as expecting that it's going to happen. You are going to be disrupted. Your company is going to be disrupted. So as opposed to trying to guess when it'll happen, it's more important to have the right mindset now so that you're prepared when it does happen. And that's where we get into the survival psychology and pulling those correlations with our own business research, where there are a number of things you can do to prepare yourself, prepare your team so that you're resilient and that you're able to go with the flow, take the blow and move on and build and grow while everybody else is sort of, you know, their knees are taken out from them because they're not prepared for the unexpected.
Disruption is definitely something that, while we can anticipate it, like, to a certain degree, there are certain things we can't predict. It's like trying to predict the stock market, where, like, sometimes you're right, but there could be, like, this total surprise that totally changes what's going to happen. And part of, like, responding to the disruption is taking risks, because you may have no idea what's going to happen, but it could be something really good for you, so I'm wondering, how do we eliminate the fear of taking risks, or at least take more calculated risks?
This is a really important topic, because really myself, as well as many, many business leaders, we've spent our career trying everything we can to reduce risk. You know, we do everything we can. We spend most of our days trying to reduce uncertainty, and we do that in different ways. You know, we conduct research, we run it by a million people, we do test pilots in the marketplace. We do all kinds of things to reduce risk. But the one of the core challenges we're facing is that risk is growing far too fast. It's increasing far too fast for us to reduce it enough so that we can be comfortable or confident in every decision. So really, what the task before us as business people is to get comfortable with an uncomfortable amount of risk in every decision. It's a new mindset that you can't reduce risk enough in every decision to the place that it used to be, where you can at least cover your butt. Now you have to embrace this uncertainty and get used to navigating in a situation where there's always an uncomfortable amount of risk in that decision. And that's a different way of thinking that isn't easy, but is doable. It is something we can achieve.
Thank you for sharing your insights on taking risk. And I love the idea of being comfortable with some level of uncomfort when it comes to taking these risks, because it's definitely something that, like, all risks feel a bit uncomfortable, but you just have to be able to embrace it. And one interesting thing I got from your book is we could use fear as our friend. And I haven't really heard this from a lot of people, like only Mike McCallowicks being someone who I could remember right away. Like, most people don't advocate or, like, don't think of or say use fear as a friend. So how can we use fear as our friend to get through big challenges?
You know, fear is another one of those things that we run away from as business people, and we fear motivates a lot of our decisions. And when you consider somebody in the wilderness who's perhaps lost or facing some sort of survival situation, fear literally takes over your body. You know, when you are afraid, it initiates all of these physiological automatic processes where your rational part of your brain moves to the irrational part of your brain, and that takes over control. Your adrenaline starts pumping. These three essential hormones are pumped into your bloodstream, and you get tunnel vision, and you just start making really bad decisions when you're afraid. And according to Dr. John Leach, he came up with the 10-80-10 theory. He's one of the world's leading experts in survival psychology. He says that in any survival situation, we generally react in one of three ways. 10% of us are prepared and we handle it well. 80% of us are paralyzed. We don't know what to do, so we don't do anything. We freeze because of the fear. And then another 10% of us actually make things worse. We panic and can actually make things more dangerous for us. So we're actually hardwired to have fear. There's no way to get around fear. The trick is to understand how fear can help you, how you can use it to find more focus. And so another phenomenon we discovered in survival psychology is while a lot of the time people just let fear take over and take control, fear can also create intense clarity. Fear has a way of providing the urgency some of us need to make decisions, and then creates the situation where, because of that urgency, you have to choose this or that, which can, if you allow it, create clarity and focus. And if there's one thing that is vital to get through this increasing pace of change in our modern economy, it's you need focus. So don't worry about having fear, because you will. You are afraid. We are all afraid. That's part of being human. The trick is to use it, allow it to give you urgency, and then use it to give you clarity and focus.
That is an interesting angle on using fear as our friend. I love how it can help you boost your clarity and focus. And speaking of focus, it's one of the important things you mentioned in your book. You give an example of how Microsoft is working on its Xbox 360. It comes out with a new version of Xbox that basically loses focus of their core fans, and then Sony's able to take some of those fans with their PlayStation 4. So staying focused is something very important from a productivity standpoint, and staying focused on your customer is important for sales. So How do we stay focused on what we're supposed to do?
You know, there's case after case. When brands are in the brand wilderness, or any of us are in a survival situation, first thing that happens is we become afraid. The next thing that happens is we quickly begin to drift. We lose our focus as a person, as a team, or as a company. And as that happens, you see company after company lose themselves. So you see Lego, for instance. Very few people realize this, but they were almost out of business near the turn of the century, the early 2000s. And now they're the biggest toy maker in the world. So really what you have to do to have focus and retain focus is ask three really simple questions that betray their importance by their simplicity. And the first thing is, what am I really, really good at doing? Now, Lego, the reason they got in trouble was because they had conducted some research that told them millennials are digitally minded, that they don't want anything to be difficult. And so Lego actually changed their Lego blocks. They changed their toy to make them bigger so it's easier, and essentially reduce that challenge. And then they completely lost their focus as a company, started building amusement parks and all kinds of crazy stuff. So they lost themselves. What they did is they asked themselves, what are we really, really good at doing? And when they discovered that, by conducting some new research, that really at their core, they are here to help children learn how to creative problem solve. And their toys are the way they do that. Once they discovered that, then they immediately made their Lego toys smaller again, made them more difficult because the challenge was part of that learning. So the first question is, what am I really, really good at doing? And Lego is really, really good at making toys that help kids learn how to problem solve. The next question is vital. It's, what is my target? What does my customer really, really need? And this is so important because this is where you get relevance. Wherever these two cross over, this is the third question, where do those two things, what I'm good at and what my customer needs, where do those two things intersect? Because wherever they intersect, you find relevance. What you're really good at and what your customer really needs, that's where you find your relevance and your focus. Now, that can change as your customer's need changes. Your core focus, if that's creative problem solving, that can remain true throughout time. You may change how you help them creatively problem solve, but that can still be your core. So those three questions are everything as you consider whether you're starting a business or you're building a brand or helping a current established brand. What are we good at? What does my customer need? And where do those things intersect?
Thank you for sharing those three simple but very important questions. I really love the Lego case study. I actually read the book Brick by Brick, which really goes into detail about that. But you definitely don't want to lose your core customers you don't want to expand at the risk of losing your core customers, because those are the people who keep you in business. And to do that, is, in a sense, being inconsistent. And inconsistency is another thing you mentioned that is a big danger that we need to avoid. So I'm wondering, how do we conquer inconsistency?
You know, it's funny. I guess it's funny because we're not in the survival situation. But whenever, you know, somebody gets lost in the forest, for instance, as soon as that fear hits and we begin to lose our focus, we immediately become wild. The wild will turn us wild, and it turns brands wild. And that's where we become very inconsistent. So if we're lost in the forest, many people will literally throw down their backpack, throw down their supplies. They'll begin to run, and they don't know where they're going. They're just running. So they get very erratic and inconsistent with their behavior. Brands will do this as well. So if you look at any, like the retail apocalypse might be a good example today, where, you know, Sears and others are just struggling so much. Well, if you look at their behavior, a lot of it is pretty erratic because they don't know exactly what to do. So they become inconsistent. And that behavior often means you're looking for silver bullet solutions, easy answers. Often you kind of have a lot of turnover at the top. You have a lot of turnover with marketing partners. And if you see that in yourself, then you can be sure that you're exhibiting a very destructive behavior. Consistency is very important when you're in the wild as well as when you're in the brand wilderness. So the first thing to do, if you find yourself acting wildly, that means you're afraid and you've lost your focus. And if you're in the wilderness, the first thing you have to do is stop. And what's so hard about this is it's the last thing you want to do. Your blood is pumping, the adrenaline's going, you're thinking a million miles an hour. The last thing you want to do is stop. You want to run, you want to do something. You have to stop. It's actually an acronym that Boy Scouts and survivalists use. It's stop, think, observe, plan. You need to sit down, cool off, allow the logical part of your brain to retake over from that illogical part of your brain. And as you stop, and that's your really, in many cases, especially if you're afraid, that's your first act of courage because you don't want to do it. It's scary to stop. So your first act of courage, stop. And then once you're there, look up. And this is where you can begin to observe. And that's why perspective is so important in the wilderness as well as in branding. As you look up and you observe, you can ask yourself questions like, well, does anybody know where I am? Did I tell anybody where I was hiking today? Did I bring any supplies? Do I need to build shelter? Do I think I'll be here overnight? Can I hear any water? All those questions are vital. And if you're just running wildly, afraid, and acting inconsistently, you can't ask the right questions. You can't gain the perspective that will probably save your life. So stop, observe. Those are the first two things you have to do before you can then regain your focus and get back on track.
I love the idea of stopping and planning. And I feel like, I mean, the example of the wilderness, like, I definitely see how someone just starts sprinting in an unknown direction. And I definitely see the connection between someone lost in the wild and a brand feeling lost would also do that. And one thing that was really, really fascinating that you said in your book, I mean, you said a lot of great things in your book, but one thing in particular that stuck with me is you said that our chance of walking in circles is surprisingly high when we are lost. So how can we catch ourselves when we are walking in circles to get back on the right path?
Yeah, this was kind of a fun one when I started looking at the research, and we've all heard or assumed that, you know, if you're lost, you're likely to walk in circles. But a researcher actually decided to test this. So they went out to the desert and to the forest, and they dropped people in the middle of nowhere and put GPS on them. And then they told them, okay, find your way out. And then what they discovered is that a portion of the people definitely walked in circles. And then when they did a second round, and this time they blindfolded everybody. And in that case, everybody walked in circles. And the key difference that they were able to discern was that whenever bearings of any kind were absent, people walked in circles. So if it was an overcast day, if they weren't blindfolded, if it was overcast or maybe nighttime and they couldn't see the sun or the moon or they couldn't see a mountain in the distance, they were far more likely to walk in circles. The same is true for everyone who was blindfolded. They literally had no bearings, so they walked in circles. So the same is true for companies. When you're lost, when you're afraid, when you're acting wildly, you are very likely to walk in circles, meaning you're going to repeat mistakes, you don't know where you're going, and you come back and you keep facing the same challenges over and over. again, this is where when you stop and you observe, you have to find your bearings. And there's a variety of ways to do this in a marketing sense. You know, you research does have its place. You can't use it as a crutch, but you need to understand what the marketplace is telling you. You need to climb a tree and get some perspective. You need to find a mountain. And so one thing I really recommend for companies in this situation is to use what I've developed as the bearings cycle. So the first thing you need to do is establish your short-term goal. You can have a long-term goal. You know, I want to take over the world by the year 2030. But really, when you're lost, you need short-term goals. So say your short-term goal is to reach a mountaintop. I need to get to that mountain and see where I am. That's fine. So once you head out towards that short-term goal, then you build, you stack your rocks. And in anybody who's been hiking or been in any sort of survival scenario, you've heard of the term cairn, which are these stacked rocks. You find them all across the world, and they're ancient. And they're essentially used to do two things, to mark a path, but they're also there to sort of emotionally communicate that, hey, someone's been here before. So as you're hiking, you have your short-term goal and you're hiking towards the mountain, you stack rocks. And what a survivalist will tell you is as you're hiking towards this mountain, you keep looking backwards. And you need to make sure that all those rocks you're stacking every so often are in line. Because if they're not in line, if they're a little bit askew, you're walking in circles. So it's a great way to walk straight. So in the sense of how do you stack your rocks in business, you really need to measure where you are. Are you getting closer to your objective, whatever that short-term goal might be? And you measure along the way, and then you report out to your team. And the final thing, if you establish your short-term goal, you stack your rocks. But then once you make it to the mountaintop, it's really important to confirm that you're there and then celebrate with your full team before you head on to that next short-term goal, because there will be another one. Often we're so focused on the next thing, we need to achieve something more, we forget how important celebration is. And this is something we saw in a lot of the survival stories where in Brand versus Wild, we pulled in all these real life stories from, you know, Shackleton in Antarctica or Teddy Roosevelt in the Amazon. And one thing that the best leaders did is they would use any excuse to celebrate in the midst of these horrible circumstances. So they were constantly celebrating because morale, your internal health of your team, the relationships and how healthy they are is the key differentiator between groups of people that face hardship and survive and groups of people that face hardship and decline. It's not your external resources. It's not the quality of your ideas. It's really the key differentiator is the health of your internal relationships on those teams. So go through your bearing cycle and don't forget to celebrate at the end.
That is a very interesting analysis of just being able to celebrate your accomplishments. And I do sense that people will just focus on the next short-term goal they have to accomplish instead of celebrating what they've already accomplished. And to accomplish those goals, though, you do have to trek up that mountain. And being able to trek up the mountain, even if things aren't looking that good, it does require resilience. So I'm wondering, how exactly do we go about developing our resilience to climb bigger mountains?
Yeah, resilience really is vital in today's modern economy, where the last few decades, really, to succeed, the analogy is you're trying to build a bigger army with better weapons so that you can destroy the competition. And that worked for a while. So these principles of size and scale and longevity and you know, I have the biggest company with the biggest budgets and the most employees, and that was where people focused in the past, where today it's about adaptability. It's about flexibility, not efficiency, not size. It's about flexibility. And so the idea that you need to be resilient is really core to being successful today, because going back to the black swan and disruption, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So instead of spending all our energy trying to predict it or killing ourselves trying to overcome every potential danger, instead focus on building resilience in your team. And the way to do this is similar to what we learned about, you know, the Shackletons of the world. It's not so much that you have, you know, all the right resources and all the right places. It's about building a culture internally that is resilient. And And the kind of the fundamental nature of resilience is in a company is healthy relationships between the leadership and then, of course, through the whole organization. So where Retail Apocalypse over at Sears or at Target or you know, if you go to any of these companies today that are sort of embattled and you lift up the hood and you look inside, you're probably going to find a lot of disagreement and you're going to find a lot of unhealthy relationships where the CFO disagrees with the COO and the CMO quit because they couldn't stand it anymore. Because resilience requires the team to get along, to have courage, to all rally each other around a single focus. If you can do that, and that's what we saw with folks like Lego and Marvel, then you can overcome anything, almost anything, any disruption. If you're unhealthy and disruption strikes, you're not built for resilience, then it'll destroy you. You know, your best people will leave and you won't be able to adapt to that new world.
I really love that idea of a strong team culture in which everyone respects each other and everyone is all pursuing the same goal and with a very happy attitude. And I'm very grateful for all the insights you've shared regarding brand versus wild. And the next portion of my podcast interviews is I ask these questions to everyone. So we'll start off with the question of what is one big challenge you have faced in your life and how did you overcome it?
One big challenge in my life. There's been a variety of challenges. You know, professionally, getting through the Great Recession was very difficult. Where there were a couple of weeks there where we were getting phone calls every day from clients cutting budgets in half or completely killing a campaign. That was difficult. You know, certainly losing my mother a few years ago was a hardship on all of us, and myself included. And I think that's where the concepts of the book are really important, because they apply, they're universal truths in that they apply to business because they apply to people. And resilience in life is really, really important. And so when I think of how I got through hardships of maybe losing my mother or, you know, building a career in marketing through the Great Recession, which was very difficult, it really came down to my faith in God and having that as something I could rely on and get my strength when things were tough, or the people I surrounded myself with, whether it was my coworkers who really encouraged me and challenged me and didn't quit on me, you know, and my family who were there. And so even in a personal situation, when I think about my own life, it's always the people around me that give me the ability to be resilient, because things are going to change in life. There's going to be a disruption in my life.
Thank you for sharing some of the big challenges you faced. And your ability to be resilient through all of those is the reason why you're able to write this book and continue to spread your work. So just thank you for sharing those big challenges with us. Another question I'd like to ask is, I know you've learned a lot of lessons through your hardships, through the success of your business as well. So what is the best lesson you have learned on your journey?
The best lesson I've learned. I've learned a lot of lessons. I guess I would, if I had to just pick one thing, I would boil it all down to resilience. Another thing I think I've learned as I've found some measure of success and been able to publish a book and serve a lot of wonderful clients is, you know, during this time, I have three beautiful kids and a wife, and really answering the question that somebody posed to me, somebody I respect posed to me one time, which is, who are you going to disappoint? So if you're an ambitious person, if you're a go-getter, an entrepreneur of any kind, you're probably like to work, you enjoy, you know, there's a certain rush and you enjoy the challenge. But you're going to disappoint somebody. That could be your coworker, your client, or your family. So who are you going to disappoint? And I think that question really resonated with me as I think about, you know, 6 o'clock rolls by and, well, I could stay here another couple hours and write one more proposal, or I could go home and have dinner with my kids. And I have a choice. Who am I going to disappoint? So I think that's really important for us all to answer and consider what really matters at the end of the day.
Thank you for sharing that really powerful question that goes in line with another question I'll be asking very soon. But before we get to that particular question, I have the goal of reading about 30 books a month. Now, we are in summer, so things may change when I go back to school. But for you, other than the books we've already discussed, what are three great books that you can think of right now?
Three great books. One of my favorite book of all time is a book by Patrick Lencioni called Getting Naked. And it's it really goes to the heart of business and how business operates and how to be successful in business. And there's two key concepts in it that have really helped me. And the first one is to always enter the danger. So in business, you often find these situations where you're sitting in a meeting, there's five people or 10 people. And usually whenever we're discussing something, there's one thing that is unspoken that everybody sort of knows, but nobody wants to say, or somebody will roll their eyes, something like that. And the recommendation is, the advice is, well, if that's there, you need to enter that danger. You need to have that conversation. The same is true if you're having a problem with a colleague. If they offend you, or a friend, if they offend you, enter the danger. But it's not just entering the danger, because you could do that wrong. You need to enter the danger with this other concept, which is always telling the kind truth. And both words are important, because truth by itself can be very ineffective if it's just harsh. But if you only have kindness without truth, then it's impotent, right? So when you enter the danger in those situations, go into it with kind truth, and you'll find in business and life that you'll get a lot farther. So Getting Naked by Patrick Lencioni. I also love The Connected Company by Dave Gray. It's just a really good primer on sort of the new world of business and how there's a new necessity to be flexible rather than efficient. And gosh, a third book. Well, I've written my book. My colleague and partner, Steve McKee, has another phenomenal book called Power Branding, which is really sort of a field manual for marketing. So if you're in the trenches and you're trying to fight this good fight every day, Power Branding has really good practical advice. It's a quick read. And I'd advise that those three books will definitely give you an advantage moving forward.
Jonathan, thank you for sharing your great book recommendations, as I know Breakthrough Success listeners love to learn as much as possible when it comes to entrepreneurship. And you asked us a question earlier that I feel like we should ask ourselves often, like, who are we willing to disappoint? And the question I ask at this point is, what is one question we need to be asking ourselves more often? So do you want to double down on your previous question, or give us a new question we should ask ourselves more often?
Well, certainly, I would challenge myself, and I challenge all of us to ask that question, who am I willing to disappoint? I think another great question is, what are you afraid of? And if you're honest with yourself, you could probably come up with 10, 20 things. And then that comes back to one of the adages out there, which is, you know, if you are afraid, run towards the fear. And that doesn't apply to everything. You know, if you're crossing the street and there's traffic, that's a bad idea. You're going to die. But in career and professional life, if there's something that makes you really uncomfortable, you probably need to head towards it, because that's the only way you're going to grow and challenge yourself and get better. So not only, you know, who are you willing to disappoint, but what are you afraid of? And if you're constantly asking yourself those questions, I think you'll be introspective enough to, and humble enough, hopefully, to challenge yourself, and you'll be far more successful in life.
Jonathan, thank you for taking the time to share insights with Breakthrough Success listeners. It was a pleasure to have you. And before we let you go, we just want to put the spotlight on you. So where can we find you on the web?
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a blast. You can find more about me at jonathandavidlewis.com. Of course, you can find my book, Brand Versus Wild, anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. And I'm on most every social platform, so you can look me up, Jonathan David Lewis, or you can find a link to all of that at jonathandavidlewis.com.
Jonathan, it was a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success. I wish you the best of luck with Brand Versus Wild. I really did enjoy reading it. I hope Breakthrough Success listeners get it. And if you want the show notes, those are at markgubertie.com/E45. Jonathan, it was a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks for having me.
To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markgubertie.com/iTunes or markgubertie.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgubertie.com/retweet.
This podcast is a production done by Mark Gubertie. For more insights, head on over to markgubertie.com.